morning. I'm not sure how I should greet everyone. So may the Lord bless you once. May the Lord bless you second. And may the Lord bless you the third time. So it's my message. It has to do with the blessing of the Lord. I'm not sure how to greet churches. See, some churches are very somewhat, they don't like to go back to the old Chinese tradition, because, you know, the Chinese New Year is wrapped with, the old Chinese superstition. So some churches stay out of it, you know. I know one lady from that's the church I work with. She called everyone the day before Chinese New Year, which is a Saturday, for a, you know, Bible study and prayer. And everyone said, no, we got to be getting ready for Tunin, right? You got to cook and all that stuff. And then she called me and said, oh, a lot of people can't make it. Maybe we should cancel it. She called me back 20 minutes later. She said, you know, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit that we should not follow these superstitious traditions. We should have a meeting anyway. She called everyone else again. And I said, you know, I'm ready to come if you have a meeting, because I'm the pastor. I can't be saying I'm home preparing for the Chinese New Year, right? I mean, so I went out there, and, lo and behold, we had about seven people praying intently. So I'm not sure, where I should say Happy New Year. In Chinese, it's Gong Hei, right? But in some churches, it's an anathema to say the other two words, meaning, you know, you get rich. So I don't want to even say it, okay? So as I come today, I'm glad you're celebrating, and I believe that we are culturally sensitive. I take any opportunity to connect the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to culture. And some of you might know I've been studying this for a long time. I haven't gotten too far. But it does give me some idea in terms of how to, you know, share the gospel. Some of you have probably remember the idea of a redemptive analogy. Remember Don Richardson? Some of the missionary to go to, tribes in undeveloped world, and they always trying to find a way of bringing the gospel into a culture. Remember Peace Child? Some of you probably remember it. And so as I look at the celebration of the Chinese culture, and I begin to ask, what is a year? Remember I talked on Genesis, and then I really didn't go into developing how God organizes a chaotic situation. One of the thing he did was to organize time, date, and season. And so I'm thinking about, why do we celebrate New Year, especially Chinese New Year, okay? Does Chinese culture have a concept of year? Most culture, ancient cultures, people have the idea of the day, because it's very evident, the sun comes up, goes down. They don't have the concept that, until Copernicus later on, that, the Earth is like rotating, a crazy idea. And the idea of a year, what is that? Chinese, what is year? Did they know that year means the Earth revolve around the sun? So the idea of a year is somewhat a foreign. Now, I asked someone about dark matter, anybody do research? So the second assignment, look up the concept of year. All right, the idea of a year, what is that? For most human culture, people celebrate festival. a lot of time the moon, moon yu, right? And the moon cake, anybody remember that? Because that's very clear, the moon, became round. But what is a year? Why do how do culture, including ourselves, organize time? 365 days, that's Julian calendar after Julius Caesar. But for the most part, Chinese New Year is what? It's really moon, right? 30 days. Lunar New Year, right? Lunar New Year. It's an oxymoron. Lunar New Year. Lunar calendar. Well, I don't want to belabor that point, but the most of the celebration is really around the moon. So when you look at the life of Israel, the new moon, right? Does the history of Israel have celebration of a new year? There is a corollary festival that's very important, Passover, right? Passover. The Jews celebrate it once a year. During the time of Jesus, Jews from all over the known world flock into Jerusalem. And part of it is that they remember the Passover, a very important day. If you read the Pentateuch, in fact, if you read the book of Exodus, there is a song that called the people of Israel to remember the Passover, that they would deliver, you know, by Yahweh, by applying lamb, the blood, in front of the door and partake of this lamb, and the angel of death passes over. So this idea of the Jewish history is that event being delivered from the angel of death. Something dangerous. What is the angel of death? Something ominous. Something you got to be afraid of. Well, the connection of the Chinese New Year is the same, is similar in that fashion of passing over. When I was in Hong Kong, I never knew this, you know. I thought year was a year, 365 days. More accurately, you should call that a sun, right? A moon and sun, right? But we call it a year. So what is a year? Not until I came to the United States in Chinatown and I learned that the term year, nian, really referred to what? Some of you studied it. What is a nian? Guo nian. Pass over the year. What is a nian? Nian. Never went to Chinese history classes. Blank stare. Well, Nian is actually a monster, right? Okay, this unknown beast that you have to avoid. It'll gobble you up, right? So people come home and they run. You know, after a year, they go home. They do that even in China. You know, mass migration from the urban center back to their villages, so that if you're able to go home and, you know, gather together with your family, you are safe. You have passed over, right? That nian, that monster that eats you. Now, the concept of a nian is really, it's pretty scary, right? If you go out today, later, and you see people, you know, with the lion going. Now, this monster is pretty frightening. You got to avoid it. The good thing about it is that the monster is a fraidy cat. Right? He's afraid of two things. One, noise. He hates bilibala, you know. That's where you get a firecracker. And he hates red. That's why if you go downstairs, all the tablecloth are red. And, you know, the Chinese, when they have Chinese New Year in front of the door, they put these sort of writing, you know, that tell them about the ancestor's name, and you name your kid after these names and these words. And you put on, you know, in front of the door, they're red. And you burn firecracker, you know, like if you go see the lion dance, perhaps that lion is the representation of that beast. And then this whole event of lighting firecracker or going into the store and I'm going to bug you until you give me a hongbao, right? This red envelope, and they go away. Now, this idea is somewhat ancient. And when we come to the scripture, I don't know if you agree with my analogy. Some of you say, Pastor Lee, man, you're stretching it. You know, it's like Chinese New Year and Passover and Chinese New Year and the Bible. Well, the point is that in the life of Israel, there are occasions. In fact, God organizes the people's calendar, and they are reminded to worship the Lord. Priority, calendar, time in which you should do a certain thing. Put away your activity and focus your attention to worship God. And this is one of the occasions. And so the psalm that we read in 84, in fact, is a psalm. If I was good in guitar, right? I don't know if you remember Pastor John Ng. He used to play guitar, you know. He used to wear shorts and sandals. See, I'm telling you about in the 70s, Yan and Rose, you know, these were Chinese hippie in Chinatown, you know. I mean, he used to get up there and sing. I haven't seen him done that recently, with sandals. And they were good, you know. That's how I came to worship the Lord in the 70s. And I was good. If I was like them, I would be singing this psalm. And I would be exegeting with music. And so some of you who look at the preaching as boring, the Psalm 84 was meant to be sung. If you see the title, this was written perhaps by the descendants of a fellow named Kohen, a descendant of Levites. And these are the people that God called to take care of the church. They organize the music. They're the worship team. In fact, their role in worship is so prominent that they teach the people of God about who God is. And in their singing, in their uplifting the congregation, the hearts of the people will be drawn to God. They might be far away before they come. They might be thinking about, you know, hongbao. They might be thinking about shopping or the job. But once they come into the midst of the Lord, the leaders, the worship team, they play a harp. A githa is an instrument that comes from Gath. Perhaps it's not very clear. But the point is that it was a calling for people to worship God, to stir up the heart so that the event of coming together would be so thrilling that people would long to come. How many of you ever longed to come to worship? As I was sitting there and closing my eye, I really enjoyed the worship. You know, it's like going to a concert. You know, I like Chicago. I went to Chicago concert in Carnegie Hall. Anyone remember that one? I went to an Elton John concert in Hong Kong, you know, when I was there for 9 months. Crazy guy. But for some reason, music really sort of, you know, lift you up. It bring you to another heavens. And so the longing, the blessing of having a longing for the spiritual nourishment from the Lord and from his people is really a blessing. If you don't have that appetite, you're missing it. And the psalmist said, and give us a picture, he said, how lovely is your dwelling place. You think about the place that God lives. I guess it doesn't matter, you know, whether it's a big place, small place, but it is a place, it's a location, it's a focus, physical sort of arrangement where when you come in, you really get in touch with the presence of God. And he said, how lovely is the dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. He said, my soul yearns, even faints. He is so weak because he couldn't be satisfied by the presence of God. He's been out of shape. He is longing like you and I long. People long for things. There's this deep desire. His desire is to be in the presence of God's place, whether it's the court, whether it's the tabernacle. I'm not sure he's thinking about the temple. It could be, but he is longing. And he said, why do I long for the place? Why is its place important? He gave an illustration in verse 3. He said, you know, even sparrow, they're so free. You wish you would be like, you know, flying around, able to have wings and sort of have this freedom to go from one place to another, to see the world from a different vantage point, from height. Even the swallow, they fly around, but yet they all want to come back near a place. They want to come to build their nest, perhaps right there, you know. You're not careful, there'll be sparrow, you know, on top of your building. Why? Because no matter how thrilling it is to be flying around, you need to have a home, a place of security, place where you could sort of, you know, picture a tent. You want a nest to have kids. You want a life that's just gone beyond, you know, it goes further than just you. You look to a secure place. Why? Why do the psalmists long for this place? He said, it's a safety, a place of security, but one thing in this place where God dwells is the altar. A place near your altar. The altar represents the relationship between him and God. It's no longer one of judgment. He's not afraid anymore that he needs to meet all God's requests of his holy life. He knows he failed. He knows he stumbled. But the altar, he brings a sacrifice. The altar is a place where we have peace with God. God look upon the sacrifice, and he overlook our sin. The altar is where our Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed his life on the cross. And because of that, we have secure. We have security. We don't need to be perfect because we are perfect in Christ. If we fail, we could be forgiven. You know, no matter how badly we have stumbled, the confidence, the assurance of coming to God through Christ, through the sacrifice that God provided, is the longing. In other words, simply, the psalmist really wants to be with the Lord, really want to experience this relationship with God. And the blessing, he mentioned three blessings. The first is in verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. The second blessing is, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their heart on pilgrimage. Right? So the first has to do with those who are able to live in a place where God is. The second blessing has to do, if you can live, you can be where God is, but if you have a longing, if your heart wants to enter into that journey toward the presence of God, that's good enough. That in itself brings another level or kind of blessing. The third is in verse 12. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. If we trust in God, if we could say truly in our heart that we not only believe in God, but we trust him with our lives, with our future, with our decision. And so the psalmists begin, as I began, there are three blessings of this relationship with God. Verse 4, he said, blessed are those who dwell in your house. There is a blessing to be able to what? Live in a place where God is worshipped. The psalmist who write this was part of a lineage of those who is around the temple, around the place of God. They keep the door open. People come in, they get up in the morning, they open the gate, and the worship come. They organize the space. They pick up the stuff. They write the program. They are planning on how God's people, when they come to this place, could worship him. In other words, these are the people who have the blessing because they live right here. How many of you live in a church? No, right? Is there an apartment for the pastor? It's a blessing to be able to live in a church, right on top of it. I've been looking for that blessing, but no church is able to, except OCM. You know, there's a whole bunch of apartment up there. Some of the pastors don't want to live up there because they always get, you know, with bell rings, and they come up and knock on the door, so they want to move to Long Island, you know. But it is a blessing to be living in the place where God is worshipped. When I was in college, I was in City College doing a School of Architecture program, right? So I was running around the city on my own with all the freedom, and my brother-in-law said, hey, how'd you like to come and live with me? Well, he's a pastor, right? He's right next to the church. He has a parsonage. On top of the parsonage, there is a attic, okay? Said, okay. At first, I was hesitant. I said, you kidding me? Next to a pastor? Man, there goes my freedom, right? I can't go out. You know, they'd be onto me like a hawk, you know? But I thought about it. My sister said, free rent, free meal. You don't have to worry about meal. What a deal. Okay, I give up my freedom. So I moved in, and I used to sleep till like, 11 o'clock at night working, and they didn't force me to go to church, even though I go when I can't. I'm looking in the morning, right, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, all these people coming in with nice clothes. I'm in my pajamas, looking from the attic with, like a madman in the attic, right? And I see people coming in, family with their kids, parking in the parking lot. And then later on, I said, I got to get up a little earlier. Well, to make the long story short, being in a church, I got to help out, open the door for my brother-in-law. Whenever there's need of help, he said, hey, come, can you take care of this? Here's all these kids running around. Can you go in the room? I'm going to lock the door and, just tell them some Bible story, And later on, my brother-in-law left, and his sister and brother-in-law, which was a pastor, told me to stay. You could stay here. No rent. You could eat our food too. Okay, good deal. But I do need help. I don't drive. I got to pick up stuff, plates, so that when they have meetings, there's cup and plates and all kind of stuff. So I used to do that. And I became the pastor's assistant driving around. Make a long story short, out of that nearness to God's place, home, my life was changed. The things that I used to run around in the city, those activity was diminished. My language straightened out. I used to have bad, languages, I changed my way of speaking. My whole life was changed. My future, my purpose. And God blessed me because I was somehow fortunate enough to be in a place close to God, where he was worshipped by his people. And I thank God for that experience. So the apartment next door, rented. Or be close to the place where God is worshipped. This is the longing of the writer. Perhaps he was dislocated. Maybe he was exiled. Perhaps this was the Assyrian, the northern kingdom that was ransacked. And they were lost. Remember the lost tribe of Israel? They were out of their home. This man, this guy who wrote this hymn was one time a servant in the temple. And he's out in the wilderness, fending for his life. And he longs for the blessing of being in God's place. So the blessing of being where God is. The second blessing. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Even though if you are not able to make it to the place of God, for some reason, you are dislocated. But the heart, the desire to enter into the journey toward where God is. Classically, this is called a pilgrimage, Pilgrim's Progress. The Puritan in 1620 left England, and they were on a pilgrimage to seek a place where God is worshipped freely. They didn't like the stuff that was going on in their nation. The church got to be too elaborate. The structure, the system was broken. Even though it looks great, they were building cathedrals. People who led worship were in fine attire robes. It was a show. But they said, we missed it. My heart is still yearning for the presence of God. And so they came. So this described a journey. And the psalmist said, blessed are those who's willing to, what? Walk this road. He described this journey towards Zion. The word is a highway, an elevated walk. It's narrow. It's the road that not everyone will take. Because there are other distractions, there are other roads that would allow you to have pleasure, allow you to seek things that you desire. But the psalmist said, you will be blessed if you choose to follow the Lord and walk this narrow journey that's toward his presence. Not everyone's going to do it. It could be boring. Your option might be limited, you think. But the psalmist said, if you choose, it'd be great if you are in the presence of God. See, if we die, I'll be in the presence of God. You know, to say it more bluntly, to be in the presence of God is when we are not here. But what happened while you're still here? You're struggling with the everyday, you know, temptation or the sort of other way that you could walk. The psalmist said, blessed are those who decide to walk that narrow road. He said two things will happen, two blessings. The first is that as they passes, in verse 6, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make a place of spring. The autumn rains also covered it with pool. The journey in this road, this pilgrimage, is tough. It's like a desert. No water. You're thirsty. You might be thirsty for the sexual temptation. You might be thirsty for a lifestyle of wealth. You might be just thirsty to travel in the different places other than the place of God. You will have this sort of thirst. But if you go through that thirst, you bite the bullet. You negate your needs. You put it away for a while. Going through this desert, in fact, would be a blessing. You're going to be inundated with what? Water. With spring of life. The term Baca is actually an esoteric term. It could refer to a place of weeping. It's sort of a play on of a, in a desert, there's this palm tree, right? You see it, oh man, you chop it open, all the water squirts out. It's like it's crying. Well, you who walk this walk and this journey in the desert, you don't know, but there will be resource inside of you that if they cut you open, living water will flow out that would give life, that would nourish a desert. When there's no rain, you will have rain. In other words, the first blessing of willing to enter in this journey, this pilgrimage, in other words, to walk the Christian life, is that you will have resources within you. You will have water. You have living water from the Lord. The second blessing is verse 7. Not only will you have resources, water, but you will have what? Strength. They go from strength to strength, right? Till each appear before God in Zion. In other words, the day you were born to the end of your life, we don't know when that would be. Some are 60, 70, 80. When you meet God in Zion, right? You will have strength along the journey. Strength to strength, not just strength. In other words, strength comes in different form. When you were 12 years old, you need to run around. You have strength, right? When you're 18, you got to lift weights, okay? Build those muscles up. You need that strength. Young girl, you got to kind of put the stuff on. Nice hair, good skin, all right? Do the exercise. Keep this tummy, you know? When you go to college, you need strength too, man. You got to get your perfect score on your SAT, right? Get into the right school. When you get a job, right? You got the multitask. You got to be handle all the challenges. It requires certain kind of strength. So your strength that's good for you in the when you were 12 years old is not going to be what? Able to deal with when you are 30 or 40. In other words, this is a developmental task that we all go through. And each stage of your life require certain strength. Now, when you and I is willing to walk this journey, a pilgrimage, the Lord said, you will have strength to strength. In other words, what your resources will change. When you're 70, you don't need to run around and do lift weights. It's not going to be good, you know. It's not going to help you, okay? I mean, all the makeup you put on, it's going to, you know, right? All the things you want to remember, it's going to slip away, okay? I mean, your mind, your body deteriorate. Paul said, my outward person is what? Dying. But my inner person is what? Getting stronger. So by the time you get to be your 30s, 60, 70, 80, or 100, if you don't have inner strength that is suitable along with your developmental stage, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in despair. The last stage of your developmental tasks is should be integration, meaning that you come to a point where you're comfortable with your skin, right? You're comfortable with your limitation. You're not still longing. You're still not wishing that, you know, I could have been this when I was 35. You know, I could be a great lawyer. I could be a beauty queen. You know, you get to be 90. You said, you know, I'm here. I'm good. I'm comfortable in what I am. I'm content. What happened is that if you're not, you'll be in despair. Visited a 100-year-old lady. She's always regretful of the bad experiences she had. We need to, strengthen her, counsel her, sing hymn to her, to help her to forget those unpleasantry in her past. Some other elderly, he's 83. He used to be a pastor in that church. Every time I ask him to preach, now, his wife said, no, he forget everything. In fact, his mind is losing his mind. He get lost in Chinatown many times. Spend hours looking for him. Going to the store, where is he? You know, his wife is always looking for him. He cannot remember what he ate. But every time they give him an opportunity, he sing the hymn, the song that he sang when he was 18. And he's in heaven, right? He forget. We feel sorry for him. He's losing his mind, thought. But when he has a chance to remember, at his stage, he's got stuff in here that make him joyous. He's got spiritual strength. And what the psalmist said, you got to continue the journey. It's good to be in place of God, wonderful. But you desire, if you continue to grow, God will give you resources. And I wish, you know, when I'm there, I can't walk, you know. I can't walk. I can't move around. I'm sitting there in my easy chair. I would have to have resources that help me just to make it through the day. And the psalmist said, the blessed, you will be blessed if you are able to have strength to strength to walk this journey. The last one, I'm going to skip a few, which is 12. The third blessing is that if you are able to sincerely say, I trust God. There's a story about this high, wild walker. He has this cable from the New York side of Niagara Falls to Canadian side. So he walks back and forth, and all these people clapping. You know, one young man, hey, no way, good stuff, man. He's really excited. And so this walker said to him, hey, do you believe that I could again walk from New York side to Canadian side? He said, sure, I believe I saw it, you know. Do you really believe that I could? He said, sure, of course. And he said, well, why don't you hop on my back and let me take you. Wait a minute. Another young man said, okay, I'll do it because I really believe you could. And so he hopped on the back of this guy, walked across the, waterfall, and the view that he could see on top of this expert, he see fish jumping, under his feet. The water is right underneath. And I believe that if you are willing to really trust your life with the Lord, I don't know what you're struggling with, your future, your job, your personality, or whatever, how God provide for you. Maybe some of us struggle with health, getting older. Trust the Lord. And the psalmist said, if you enter in this journey, you will see life from the point of view of someone who's carrying you over this waterfall. You will see beauty, and you will see events beyond what you could see on the ground. Blessed are those who dwell in the house of the Lord. They are ever praising you. So show up, always be here if you can, to worship our Lord. Even if you can, blessed are those who have set their heart on the journey, willing to walk a narrow road, because you will be blessed. You will have resources, living water in a time of your need. when you're thirsty. You will have strength, not only to deal with your present life, but as you get older, as you move from one stage to another, the strength that comes from the Lord will give you the resources, not just to overcome, but to thrive. Lastly, blessed are those who trust, place yourself, place your life onto the altar. Let our Lord Jesus Christ carry you so that your life will experience another level of blessing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have made this place so that your people could come and worship you. May our worship not only be acceptable unto you, but may our worship lift up our lives so that we may have more intent desire to love you, to obey you, to share you, your love with others, so that we would see life in each day of our development in a very different and challenging. Open our eyes, Lord, as we enter your journey. We pray this in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.